today. But if you look at the book of Proverbs, we find that there is a lot of wisdom that's actually being presented. In the home, you perhaps would like to sit down with your family and share with them wisdom. And so I thought it would be good for us to just kind of get a definition from Webster's Dictionary 1828 of what wisdom is from the dictionary. The word for wisdom. And by the way, what's happening here in the book of Proverbs, the first nine chapters work together. I've kind of went through this before. But the 10th chapter of Proverbs heads into bits and pieces of wisdom. But on the first nine chapters, it all runs together. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. To me, someone should write a book on the first nine chapters. I think other people have. But I'd like to on the first nine chapters of Proverbs, because it's basically Solomon giving wisdom to his family. And in that wisdom, he's basically, or in that teaching, that doctrine, he's giving them the two choices in life. And you have those two choices today. You can either go the wise way or the foolish way. And it's pretty simple. The Scriptures line it out for us. The foolish way, of course, is going to be the sensual way. It's that the lady, of course, the strange woman who is strange to what is good, will draw people away from the path that is right and good and healthy. That sensual way, using her smells and her sight and her dress to draw people in the wrong direction. Now there also is wisdom, lady wisdom, which we're going to talk about here, that she cries in the streets. And she is saying, this is the healthy way to go. This is the way to go that will bring you joy and happiness. And the book of the eighth chapter of Proverbs kind of lays it all out for us, that this wisdom is personified so that we could see it a little bit better and understand it a little bit more so that we can apply it to our lives. And I want to tell you that even though I went to a Christian school, I was raised in a Christian home, and even though I had all of that, I lacked wisdom. And I lack the ability to discern really well. And you can go back and maybe actually hang your nail on maybe some learning disability that you had. But I don't really believe we need to do that. I believe that God, first of all, will save anybody at any time if they yield to Him. And I really believe that somebody who has been saved by the power of the living God will also reach their potential by His power and His wisdom, and we can apply the Scriptures to our life to become what God wanted us to become. Yes, there were times when I look back and wish I had a little bit more discretion and discernment in my past, a little more strength and willpower, a little more wisdom in some areas. But I'm so thankful that God protects us through those times, and He gives us the ability to have another day to where you say, now I'm pushing the reset button, Lord, help me to do what is right and healthy for me, but also for my family and for my church and for the place in the workplace and so on. And God gives you that wisdom. He desires to give that to you today, and He'll give it to you liberally. He'll give you power and wisdom to do what is right. But I want to give you the definition of it. It's probably a long one. Maybe you'll be bored through it, so. But maybe you want to hear it, and I needed to hear it. So I want to give you Webster's definition of wisdom. Listen to what he says. He says, the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends and of the best means of accomplishing them. This is wisdom. An act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. And if it is to be considered as an acquirement, that you can acquire it, it is the knowledge and the use of what is best, most just, most proper, more conducive to prosperity or happiness. Wisdom in the first sense, or practical wisdom, is nearly synonymous with discretion. It differs somewhat from prudence. In this respect, prudence is the exercise of sound judgment in avoiding evils. But wisdom is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evils or attempting that which is good. Prudence, then, is a species of which wisdom is the genius. Someone said this: experience comes from what we have done, and wisdom comes from what we have done badly. And I think it's interesting that we can go back in our own hearts and our own minds, and we can see where we have messed up. But some of those times, God was able to meet with you and me and able to give us a little bit more of an understanding of what we can do in the future to do a better job of it, to be a little bit more wise. Don't you love it when you see a wise young man? But don't you hate it when you see a foolish young man? What a blessing it is when you see a wise young lady. But what a terrible thing to see a foolish young lady. Because you know that foolishness is bound in their heart, and they're going to hurt and they're going to go through difficulties. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse number 30, "The mouth of the righteous shall speak wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." And so I think it's important for us to understand this wisdom and be able to know, according to chapter 8 of Proverbs, that wisdom does cry. Then wisdom is available. Wisdom will be there for you if you want to inquire of it, if you want to acquire it and be able to have it in your life. Wisdom is available. What a blessing to know that, is that we're not stuck in a foolishness, that we can actually be wise and make wise choices. The problem, I think, a lot of times is when we become wise in our decisions and in our choices, and we see someone that isn't, we want to direct them, and sometimes we want to be a little bit autocratic in our leadership, and we think that we can force them. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can use our wisdom to become prideful, and it's dangerous then, because pride tries to get people to conform and tries to get them to do something when they don't want to do it willingly. You know what's always best for people to do what they want to do willingly? You know, one of the little girls asked me a question right away this morning about God. Very, very profound question. And I think it's interesting because I was able to share with her that I really believe that God has given to us the free will, that we can choose what is right, we can choose what is wrong. And I think if we know this and we understand this, that we can choose and we have the free will to do that, then it makes it a little bit more joyful when we choose what is right. Because, you know, I chose to make wise decisions. If you choose to make foolish decisions, isn't it terrible when you realize that it's because of your own doing that you're at where you're at? It's nobody else. We're not going to get to heaven someday, and God's going to say, well, the ones that are actually made poor choices because you weren't able to make right choices, you can go over here. It's not the way it's going to work. You know, everything's written down. God keeps really good books. And those that have made wise decisions, of course, will be rewarded. Those that actually have been making foolish decisions, we talk about not hell, but that person will be judged in heaven of their good and their bad, things that they've done in the body. So we know this to be true. And so we make wise choices. Aren't you glad you made wise choices? Aren't you glad you didn't turn the alarm off this morning and you're here? I'm glad you are, and I believe God wanted you here. But there is a pathway in which you can go that is the righteous way and the right way. And there's others that have gone that way that will help you along the way to make right choices. And I don't care how old you are, you can make right choices and you can make wrong choices. I think habitually you start to make good discerning choices because of wisdom. And so we want to just look at this a little bit this morning and kind of dissect, if we can, a little bit of the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 8 to help us understand that we can make proper choices, we can make wise choices. And so, first of all, I think that if we talk about wisdom's cry, we must talk about wisdom's voice. And wisdom's voice is found in verse number 1. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" So I think when we're talking about her voice, I think we're talking about something that is loud. Now, I think that the crying out and puts forth her understanding I think it's interesting because it talks about her voice being put out and her voice crying out. So she is loud, and I really believe she wants to be heard. But she wants to be heard for the right reason. You ever with somebody and they just keep on talking and 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 talking? Ever been someone like that? And you're thinking, that person, all they want to do is hear themselves. But that's not why wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks for your benefit, not for its own. I think when you talk about a loving wisdom is going to present the truth to somebody and to help them do what is right so that they can actually become what God wants them to become. So I think there's an understanding that when wisdom cries and she's loud, she wants to be heard for your benefit, not for hers. If we would personify wisdom, we would see that wisdom has always been here. Sometimes people would come to me about this verse and say, or this chapter and say, is this talking about Jesus Christ? And I would have to say yes. That wisdom and Jesus are the same. Wisdom's voice, I would say it's an attribute because it's using it as she, a character trait, if you would, of the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out, come. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened, heavy laden. And wisdom is crying and crying to you. But I think, first of all, we see in verse number 1 that it was loud. Look at verse number 2. She stands in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. And so she wants to be seen because it's a platform and she wants to be seen up high. Look up, O foolishness, because wisdom is crying out. She wants to be seen. Foolishness whispers deceit, but wisdom speaks loudly in the open. Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Wisdom has given us every opportunity to hear and to see and to come. In the portion of scripture I read this morning, it helps us understand this a little bit more. And I think that there needs to be, first of all, from an understanding of she wants to be heard, but she also wants to be seen. But look at what it says also in verses 4 and 5. Let's look at 3, 4, and 5. She cries at the gates and at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, unto you. So he makes it a little more personal. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. And so I really believe she cries out. She wants to be heard. She wants to be seen, but she wants to direct. She wants to direct. She has a desire to give direction. I have an issue. I always want to give advice when nobody asks. I don't know if you're like that or not. Sometimes we give people advice and they really don't want to hear it. You know, and sometimes people didn't come to you for advice. They just wanted you to carry their burdens. And sometimes that's a good thing of just listening to people. Not everybody wants your advice. And not everybody wants wisdom's advice. And wisdom will not force herself upon you. If you choose to say yes to wisdom, that is your doing. And how sweet it is when you say yes. But it's interesting that all wisdom wants to do is give direction. I remember years ago, I was a mailman. 8.5 years I carried mail in the city of Milwaukee. I was on the north side for a while. I carried in the Bayview area. I moved up into Hartford. I carried in the streets of Hartford. And I enjoyed being a mailman. Some doors I would knock on and smile and say, here's your mail. You know, some places I would get up there and just quickly put it in because they had a dog I didn't like. And I would run down, you know, to get away from them. And hopefully my shoes were clean by the time I got back to the next house. And I used to like it. In fact, I was actually when I resigned to go in the ministry, I was in Mayberry. It's the same thing as Mayville. That's where I carried mail. We had donuts every morning in small routes. I had it made. I reached it, folks, in the Postal Service. It was like I could say hi to Barney down there, you know, and I could actually spend time with the sheriff. You know, Mayville was a cool little town. And I used to, sometimes old people would drive up to me and they'd say, where's the high school? I'd say, well, you go down this road and take a right. And I was like giving advice, giving direction. I kind of enjoyed it, you know. What I didn't like is sometimes when someone would ask me where something was at, and then I gave them direction, I'm walking down the road, and then I remembered I just gave them directions to the wrong place. That was not a good thing, you know. But I think it's interesting because it's easy for wisdom to give direction to people that want to get it. Do you have trouble with your direction? Wisdom is standing out in the high places this morning and crying out to you. It's not something that you have to pay for. It's there. Are you lacking wisdom in some area today? Are you having trouble in some areas? Wisdom is available for you, and wisdom will cry out, and wisdom will speak to you. Wisdom for maybe how to manage your home. Maybe how to manage your finances. Maybe wisdom on how to raise your children and your teens. Maybe how wisdom for how to keep marriages from falling apart. Wisdom for how to be graceful and coping with old age. Wisdom of how to deal with moral decline in our society. Wisdom for how to speak to someone without speaking condescending. Wisdom for how to respond when taking advantage, when you've been taken advantage of, and how are you to react. Wisdom for how to forgive or let go, and wisdom perhaps of how to make right decisions concerning your job or your family's decisions of moving perhaps. Wisdom for how to discipline your children. Wisdom of how to get to heaven perhaps. The Bible says really clearly that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable and is doctrine for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. But you know what the Bible says in the previous verses of that? It is actually Paul writing to Timothy and saying that the Scriptures have made you wise unto salvation. Do you want to know how to get to heaven? Wisdom will show you how. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how we get to heaven. Trusting the work of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, to strengthen us. Romans chapter 16, verse number 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad there on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. I think if we're looking at this wisdom and seeing it, it cries out. That's wisdom's voice. Also, I see in the Scriptures wisdom's virtue. What is wisdom like? I think the attributes are here in verses 6 through 9. Look at your Bibles if you would here. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And all the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. I think it's interesting because things are listed in here. First of all, excellent things. That's the virtue of wisdom. You know what excellent is? It's the best. I think about how that you can't get any better than that. The words of wisdom are excellent words. I hope that this morning you desire wisdom. I hope it continues with you through the whole year that you would crave this thing called wisdom. Because there are excellent things involved. There are right things. I think a lot of times people say, well, that's the way you see it, Dean. But I don't see it that way. So who's right and who's wrong? Am I wrong? Or are you wrong? Or am I right? Are you right? I would actually say, what is the wise thing? What does the Scriptures say? Because then I must submit to what is right. It doesn't matter about me or you. It is what this Word of God says. Because wisdom is going to speak the right things. It's going to speak the right things to me and to you, and the excellent things. I enjoy having an opportunity to be around some wise people through the years. One of those was a fellow that I spent time with as a farmer. His name was Daryl Bridges. He came here, didn't he, not too while ago. I was able to see him in our church, and he was kind of surprised that I'm a pastor. And I didn't want to make any smart comments when he was here, because I already gave him too many when I was younger working for him. But what a blessing to be around that man for a while and help me in my youth to be able to understand things that are excellent, things that are right. In the scriptures, it tells us that people come into our lives, I really believe, for a reason, to help us and guide us in healthy things. Through the years, my boys have made really good decisions. And you know who helped them with that? Sure, Mom and Dad did. Some of the most godliest deacons that I've ever known have been in this church. And I've been in church a long period of time. Deacons that will stay at it and stay stable. And sometimes I'd walk by and see my son talking to a deacon that's been faithful. I would just say, talk on. Talk on. And then I would say to my son, listen on. It's interesting as you think about it, because sometimes people don't think they make much of a difference. Oh, you sure do if you're wise. People are watching you. Some of the greatest people I know that have kept the works of God working in the Dane County area have been very wise men. Very few of them ever stood in a pulpit, but they were wise to be able to say, have this excellent things and the right things in truth, but also in righteousness and in plain. I think it's interesting too, because in verse number 9, they are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. I just like plain old people, don't you? Humble people. This is wisdom's cry, and this is wisdom's virtue. Wisdom brings knowledge to us so that we can actually make healthy, good choices. Wisdom will not cheat, will not lie, will not steal. Then I want you to look at wisdom's value just for a moment. I think in the next view, let's look at verse number 10 and 11. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. It's wisdom. This is awesome. Turn over, if you would, in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, because it's mentioned here just a few pages back, Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse number 13. Proverbs 3, verse number 13. Look what the Bible says here. It says, happy or blessed is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. I've been watching a lot of Westerns lately. I don't know what it is, but I think it's because we don't have at our house satellite TV or even cable or anything. We just have the old stations, and there's one station that shows Westerns all the time. So I choose that station. I don't know why. But, man, I saw one time when they were at a bank, these cowboys were, and they had stacks of gold. They were about this big. They were bars of gold. How many have ever seen like that on TV where you see the bars of gold? Man, just think about one of those, how much it's worth. But there's a whole room full of them. They stack it into their little covered wagons, you know. They got all this gold, and they're gonna have all this, and they're going to be happy someday. Can you imagine having a huge covered wagon full of gold? I mean, the wheels can hardly make it. The axles aren't even strong enough to carry it. But did you know what? God's wisdom is more valuable than that little card of gold compared to, you can't compare it. You can't compare God's wisdom to anything. It's the most valuable thing, not for wisdom's sake, but for your sake, that God would actually help us to be able to make wise choices. Look at the Bible again, verse number 13. Blessed, chapter 3, verse 13, blessed or happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that getting understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou can desire not to be compared to her. Look what else it gives. It's interesting, because if we look at this, it helps us understand a little bit more about how valuable it is. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. Look at 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that can be desired cannot be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. And happy, happy, blessed is everyone that retains her. I don't know about you, but I sure want this wisdom. A lot of times today you watch television and you see what's going on in our world today, and we're thinking, where in the world are those with wisdom? Because it comes from God. That's why it's valuable. Why is it so valuable? Because God is the one that gives it to us. God is the one that knows, and He created us. And He helps us to be able to make right choices. And here's the key to all of that: to make the right choices when nobody is watching us. We were talking this morning a little bit in the men's class and how sometimes we make choices and say things and because people are watching us. But you know what's really a blessing, and I really believe to God, is when we do what is right when no one is watching. When we make the decision to turn off the junk and to pick up the Bible. When we turn away from friends that perhaps would just lie to us and use us anyway, and we come and walk with God's people, I really believe that God gives us that blessing, and it's a happy life. It works both ways. As we're thinking about this, I think we need to also say, because it is internalized, I really believe that mental wealth is more valuable than wealth itself. Peace of mind, you can't buy it. And that's why it's important for us to make the wise choices. I want to give you 7 things, and I'll go through them rather quickly, of how we can do this. How can I get wisdom? First of all, do you believe that you could have wisdom? Because if you don't believe it, and by the way, I am so tired of our society lying to our kids in the public school system. I'm tired of it. You know, I praise God for Christian schools. I really do. I'm so thankful. Some places only have an ACE school. I'm glad they're doing something. But to be in the public school today and to listen to what they're telling our kids, we got to be really careful. If you're a Christian, make sure you're in the Scriptures with your child every night, because the Scriptures are going to be different than what they're learning. They're seeing things through humanistic eyes and in the school system, but you can show them through God's eyes and through the lenses of God's Word. But I think, first of all, we have to really understand, if you desire wisdom, that it is available for you. And by the way, wisdom isn't something that can be selected only to a few. You know, there may be some people that had a little more money, so they got to go to college, and they went to college, and they were learned a little bit, and their parents were readers, and so they helped you to be a reader, and they got a little bit more knowledge. But I'm telling you, dear friend, that wisdom is available to anyone at any time. God wants to give you His wisdom. I know some of the most learned men, and I talk to them, and they're the most boring. But I listen to some people that maybe he grew up someplace in the UP, and all he knew was logging, and he ran a Bible college because he had God's wisdom. And I know a man that's in a pulpit this morning that grew up and went to Vietnam and just really messed up his life completely. But now, in a pulpit, teaching his grandkids the great wisdom of God, what a blessing. It's not just to a select few. God wants to give you His wisdom. But I think, first of all, we need to be saved. And I think that we can internalize, if you would, this wisdom, that God can help us in the area of salvation. That's the first thing, that if you're not saved today, then get saved. It's pretty simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He came to earth. I believe that. I believe he was buried, and on the third day He rose again. Do you believe that? Then I believe that you understand the gospel. Now it's time to receive that, to internalize it. Say, yes, Lord, I believe. Not just with a worldly sorrow, but with a godly sorrow that gives us the power and the spirit to be able to do what is right, to repent and turn away from our sin and come to Him and say, I cleave to you, I want your ways, and say yes to Him. That's the first thing. I think salvation. And I've told the story in a men's class when I was down at the Capitol and they wanted me to say a few things to help them understand concerning same-sex marriages and so on. And when I was telling them that we lack discernment. We lack this because we don't have Christ in us. You see, religion is not the answer. If you see the religious crowd, a lot of them will talk and sing about the nature and the creation, and we need to talk about the Creator. Not only the Creator of this world, but the Creator of your own soul to be regenerated and renewed. And I think it's important for us to, first of all, be saved. Number two, I think there's a need for reverence. There's a need for reverence. Is anything reverent to you? Or is everything just blah? I think we need to have a high understanding of who God is. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear has to deal with a healthy fear, a reverence of the Lord, an understanding that He is high and lifted up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There needs to be salvation, yes, regeneration, but also reverence, that God is here and God sees you. There are holy things still, and you can be holy and walk right. So in order to be able to have wisdom, I believe there needs to be regeneration, but also reverence. I believe there needs to be humility. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. But with the meek and the humble is wisdom. You ever sometimes just say, Lord, would you please help me to be humble in this? And He answers your prayer. And you say, I'm taking the quiet side. I'm taking the meek side. You see, it's easy sometimes just to shoot off at the mouth or to give your point, but be able to refrain and let God be God. There's meekness and there's power in that, and there's wisdom with humility. And I really believe that you can't teach anybody till there's humility. I raised 4 sons. I could never teach them anything with a proud heart. Oh God, would you help our hearts to be soft and pliable and humble? That we would say, yes, Lord, help me now to be wise and make wise decisions from here on out. Why did God want me to bring this message this morning? I don't know. But you do. You do. Humility. I think the third thing is a willingness and an ability to be taught. Proverbs 19:20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy later end. Sometimes it's hard to just be quiet and let somebody teach you. When I was in the Marine Corps, there was so much going on. For one thing, I'm there thinking, how foolish was I to join this thing? 80 guys in a squad bay. Everything had to be perfect. Why? This is foolishness. But as they would teach us, I would learn and understand. And paying attention to the details takes a little more wisdom and discernment than I had. And so I had to constantly say, Lord, would you help me to pay attention? Would you help me to hear? Would you help me to understand? And folks, not just in boot camp, but ever since then, I have at times wept and said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But I need your help. And I'm teachable. I remember when we decided to build a house here, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm going to be here for a while. I might as well just build a house. Bought some property. Started thinking about how the building's going to go and the construction part of it. I worked as the general contractor, so I had to hire all the people. And you know what? There was times when I got on my knees in the corner of that house over there when there was no walls, and I would say, Lord, I have not any clue of what to do next. I need your wisdom. I would pray stuff like this to God. You gave Solomon wisdom? Couldn't you give me a little wisdom? Oh, he had so much for the peoples. Couldn't you just help me with my family and give me the wisdom what to do? Folks, let me tell you something. That house is going nowhere. Because every step of the way, God gave me the ability to be able to do it. Somehow. But I had to be humble. I had to be broken. I had to be to the place where I said, now this is no more a game. I need you, O Lord. Teach me. Teach me in thy way that I should go. And he will. He will make you and help you if you just yield to him. So I think that's important also. I come up with a couple more. Let me just give you number five. Is that what I'm on, number five? Uprightness. No, number four. Number four is diligence. I think I got two number ones here. Be saved, reverence, humility. You were right, I'm on number five. Diligence. Diligence. Listen to me. We're almost done. You can go to lunch. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at your Bibles. Proverbs 2, verse 4 and 5. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as the hid treasure, then. So see the if and the then? This is the prerequisite. If you seek and search, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Pretty powerful. Have you ever seen someone sleeping and searching at the same time? Doesn't work that way. You ever lose something and you need it really bad and you seek it? That's what we're talking about. Be diligent. You say, I want wisdom. I want it. Then be saved and be reverent. Be humble. Be willingness to be taught. Be willing to be taught. Be diligent. Number six, be upright. Uprightness. Proverbs 2:7 says, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Number seven, lastly. You see, some of this is your faith. Your faith enough to say, Lord, I'm going to go forward, but I'm going to do it by faith that you're going to give me the wisdom of what to do. I think that's why I like Proverbs 16:3 so much. Commit thy works to the Lord and thy thoughts will be established. It's because if I commit it to God, he'll establish my thinking. That's a promise. But by faith I commit it to him. He'll give me what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But James, of course, when we're talking about faith, reads this way, James 1:5-8. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to men, all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't have it both ways, friend. If you want wisdom, follow the steps. God will give it to you. First thing you need to do is trust him as Lord and Savior. And then fall at his feet and say, oh God, I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll obey you in every area. You see, because sometimes we think that things can be done half-hearted and it can't be done this way. He wants all of your heart. All of your heart. Every chamber of your soul yielded to Him. He will then give you the power to do and to be what you should be. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I don't know who this message was for today, but you do. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you. You say, Pastor Howell, I've never been truly saved. I've never received Christ as my Savior. But I understand that's something I've been thinking about, and I want to do that today. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to ask Him to come into my life and save me. I need someone to pray with me, though. I need some help. And maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. I need to be saved. Is anyone like that? Just lift up your hand and put it back down again. Anyone? Then Christian, this message was for you. And maybe there'd be somebody here that would say, I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that I still need to be working on. And God spoke to me about those things this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Is anyone like that? Just lift up your hand and put it back down again. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else with these? Say, yes, Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone? Maybe this message was for you in the area of just coming down to an old-fashioned altar and saying, Lord, I need you. I need this wisdom. I want to make wise choices. I want to go down the right road. And maybe this morning just come down here and yield and say yes to God. We'll give you time to be able to do that. Make it public. Say, yes, I'm stepping out. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand to your feet? No one looking around this morning. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, the piano's going to begin, and so also will the invitation. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide now in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Look up here just for a moment. I have this, I put this on here. I've been here all these years, and I've always considered this my pulpit. This is something they put on to hide my water glasses. They did a pretty good job years ago on that. This pulpit's about the same. I could probably pick it up if I wanted to, but I'd hurt my back. But on it I have written this. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling, and of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine, for I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Don't you just love that? I wish I would have wrote that. Whoever did, I'll see them someday. It says author unknown. But that really explains it all, doesn't it? The wisdom of God. It'll help us. bring us to the place where we can be secure enough to be effective. You know, this morning I was thinking about staying connected to people. And Brother Tom, why don't you make your way up here if you could. I want you to close our service with a word of prayer. We got to stay connected, folks. Please don't isolate yourself. Because what happens in isolation is that Satan begins to whisper to you, you're better off not even here anymore. He'll whisper hell, words from hell that'll hurt you. No one loves you. Those are the things that he'll do in isolation. Don't isolate. Stay connected. I think really that that's what the book of Hebrews had in mind when it said that we should gather ourselves even more together more. As you see, what that's exactly what it says. You see the day approaching. Guess what? The day's approaching. And so we stay connected. And maybe it would be good for you to be the one connecting, because if you're going to wait for someone else to do it, they probably won't. So you stay connected. And by what's going to happen with that is you'll get it back again. Just an encouragement. Stay connected to people. I text a lot. Praying for you. We just need to be there for one another more, I think, today than any day. But I wanted to change the message, and I hope it helped you. Why don't you come, Tom, close our service. We got choir practice at 4, what time?
45.
Okay, just thought. Aaron, what time? But anyway, 4:45, and then we have 6 o'clock. A wonderful group of guys are going to sing to us. And then a fellow that was in the Amish culture got saved, his parents got saved, and he's going to preach tonight to us. His name is Yura Schrock. And he'll be here tonight to preach to us. And so come back 6 o'clock.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you this morning for your goodness to us and for the wisdom that you've given us in your word. And we just pray that you would help us to continue to seek you and to continue in your word. And that we would let it guide us and that we would just be submissive to your will and to know your will. We just pray that you'd help us to grow closer to you and walk with you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.